turn to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6 tonight.
We began looking Sunday morning at this thought of being battle ready from Ephesians chapter number 6, verses 10 down through 20. And Sunday morning we saw the reason that we need to be battle ready is because there are high value targets in our lives, our relationships, whether it be our relationship with the Holy Spirit, that's where it begins in verse number 18 of chapter 5, or whether it's our relationship in the home, husbands and wives and children, beginning in chapter number 6, and fathers, and then whether it's the relationship between masters and servants. The enemy, as is spoken of in verses 10, 11, and 12, the enemy does not desire for saints to be surrendered to the Spirit. He does not desire for homes to be in harmony with heaven. He does not desire for children to be compliant to the command. And by the way, we mentioned this Sunday. We're not talking specifically about our command. We're talking about the command. And the command is for children to obey their parents. That's the command. And it's from God. And then the devil, the adversary, the world, the flesh, and the devil, he does not desire for parents who prepare. He desires for parents who provoke their children. And then we saw, lastly, the devil does not desire workers who know the will of God when it comes to their work. The Bible says in chapter number 6 and verse number 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. So that's the why. That's the why verses 10 through 20 of chapter 6 are so important. Paul is finishing up the letter. He's finishing up this epistle to the church at Ephesus, and he says finally in verse number 10. And then Sunday night, we saw in verses 10, 11, and 12, I don't know if I want to use the word how, but maybe a better word would be the wherewithal. Okay, how do we do that? Well, we do it in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We do it in His power. Look at verse number 10, if you would. And Sunday night, we saw superpower status. It may be daunting to think that we are in a spiritual battle every day. However, when we understand that we don't fight in our own power, it's not flesh against flesh. It's not my flesh. No. It's my faith in the power of Almighty God. He says in verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the wiles of the devil are very evident today, are they not? Very evident today. My wife, there was a mother and her daughter who came into the eye clinic today. And on the appointment, it had Kyle, and then in parentheses, it had Madison. And so the mom and this boy, not a boy, they came into the office. And so she's trying to figure it all out. And so she looks at the mom and she said, oh, you must be Madison and this is Kyle. And she said, no, this is Kyle. He used to be Madison. This is a teenage girl. Child Protective Services ought to be called. They ought to be called because that mother is abusing her daughter in allowing that to happen. The wiles of the devil is evident today. And that's why we must be battle ready. That's why we must know the Word of God. That's why we must be constantly yielded to the Spirit and allow the Spirit to guide us in conjunction. I was thinking even this week, you know, the Spirit and the Scriptures. And I'm not trying to be irreverent whatsoever, but a match made in heaven. The Spirit guides us in and through the Scriptures. The Spirit guides us with the discernment and the wisdom from God's Word. Boy, what discernment we need today. What guidance from the Spirit and from the Scriptures do we need today? Because the wiles of the devil are so evident in our time today. And by the way, let me say this. Silence is not the answer. Well, I'll just sit in my home and just, I know what's right and we do what's right and our home does what's right and we'll just let the world do whatever they do. We can't do that. The world needs to know the truth. By the way, the world needs the gospel. The world needs to hear the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and people need to be saved, and then they need to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We said it Sunday. Look, the world does what they do. The world, as Brother Steve mentioned a few weeks ago, the world worlds because that's who they are. They don't know the Word of God. And the Bible says here, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Battle ready. We need to be battle ready because there are high value targets. But don't fret. Don't think that daunting because we have superpower status. And tonight I want to go a little bit further. We're going to drop down. Sunday we'll come back and pick up the middle there, Sunday morning and Sunday night. But I want us to drop down to verse number 18 if we would tonight. And tonight I want to speak to us on this subject, battlefield communications. Battlefield communications, beginning in verse number 18. One of the great resources that we have in our spiritual warfare, but I believe, I know it in my own life, probably one of the most neglected resources. And it's the resource of going to the very throne of grace anytime I need. The Bible says in verse number 8, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I was listening to a preacher today. I was listening to a message today. And by the way, this preacher is not a loud preacher whatsoever. There are times when he does get a little bit louder, but for the most part, he's pretty steady in his preaching. But he was making the point that in our world today, if you speak truth and if you speak it confidently, there are so many who say that is unloving. And he made the point, he said, listen, if my three-year-old is getting ready to run across the street and I see a tractor trailer coming, he said, the love that I have for my three-year-old is probably not going to sound very loving. He said, as a matter of fact, it may sound very violent. He says, because I'm going to yell at my three-year-old to stop because I don't want him to get run over. But the world, if you proclaim the truth today confidently, they say that you're unloving. They say that you hate. They say that you are filled with hate. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he said, the goal of prayer is what? Anybody know? What is the goal of prayer? It's the ear of God. The goal of prayer is the ear of God. And when we're in this spiritual warfare, and if you think about even our own military, and Brother Corey could probably speak more to this than anybody, but if we think about our own military, there are times in battle and on the battlefield, and I even, this afternoon, I tried to pull up some clips, but they would not have been appropriate for the service tonight, so we definitely would not play those. But I tried to pull up some clips of men engaged in the battle, on the battlefield, calling for support. calling for air support. When they're on that battlefield, they must have a direct line of communication with someone who can help. Someone who, if necessary, can bring in the attack helicopters, can bring in the fighter planes or the planes that drop the bombs and drop them on a specific spot. They are very intimate with battlefield communications. And dear friend, tonight when we're in the spiritual warfare, by the way, every single day, we need a direct line to the one who can help a billion, trillion times more than an attack helicopter. Where we can call in for support and help and cover. And so I want to look at that tonight here in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. Battlefield communications. And I'll give you four words we will not prolong tonight. A simple desire is to be a help to us tonight regarding this matter of prayer. Father, we commit tonight to you. Father, we ask that you would help. Father, I pray that you would charge and prod and convict, if necessary, every single one of us tonight about the matter of prayer. Father, we all have homes that need prayer. We all have a church family who needs prayer. We all have a community that needs our prayers. We all have individual Christian lives that every single day we must die daily. We must be yielded to the Spirit. We must be in tune with the Spirit. We must be in the presence, in your presence, consciously in your presence every moment of the day. And Father, if we're going to do that, we need your help. And Father, we're so grateful, even as we're doing right now at this very moment. Father, we're very grateful that we can come into your very presence. We can come before your throne of grace at any moment. And we can seek help. We can obtain help. We can find mercy. We can find grace in time of need. And Father, there are times in the spiritual battle when it feels like the devil is just throwing everything. He's shooting his fiery darts. He's commanding his minions to battle against us. And sometimes it just feels like all the hounds of hell are against us, Father. And without being disrespectful, Father, at that moment, we need cover, we need support, we need help from heaven. Father, may we daily, may we be every moment, every second in an attitude of prayer. Father, may we all have that special place where we can run to, that closet, if you will, and we can get alone with you, and we can have direct line in this spiritual battle. Father, help us in these next few moments. We commit them to you. We ask that you would help as only you can. Father, help our children, our teenagers, everyone that's present on this property tonight. Father, we ask that you would help. Father, for those who are away from us tonight, for whatever reason, we just ask that you'd watch over them in a special way as well. We love you tonight, Lord. We ask that you would help us. We know you love us. We know you want to help us tonight. We pray that you would. Father, we pray this in the name that is above every name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me give you four words tonight regarding the matter of prayer. We find the first one in verse number 18. We see the always of prayer. We see the always of prayer. He says in verse number 18, praying always with all prayer. The always of prayer. Whether it's a confession, whether it's a praise, whether it's a petition, whether it's an intercession, whether it's a thanksgiving, whether it's a supplication, as is mentioned in verse number 18, the always of prayer. We ought to be always in an attitude. I understand we mentioned this many, many times. We're not always on our knees and we're not always per se in prayer. However, we should always be in an attitude of prayer. The Bible, the Apostle Paul told the church at Thessalonica, pray without what? Ceasing. Should be a constant attitude of prayer. And when look, when something happens, when you get a text and someone says, hey, like Brother Wesley today, hey, pray for Desi. He had to go to the hospital, maybe a possible heart attack. You know what? At that moment, we ought to stop. I know sometimes you might be in the middle of the road. You're driving, you can't stop. But if you're driving, you ought not check your text anyway, should you? But whatever we're doing, we ought to stop. We ought to pray. Those people desire for us to pray and to help. And so the always of prayer. Let me give you three thoughts here about the always of prayer. Always willing, always warring, and always watching. Always willing, always warring, always watching when it comes to the matter of prayer. The Bible says in verse number 18, He says, in the Spirit. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And I use that word willing, not saying that we should be willing to pray, because I believe we are. We're willing to pray. But we ought to be yielded to the Spirit, to His will, every moment of the day. So we're in an attitude of prayer. By the way, we need that because, take your Bibles, hold your place here in Ephesians 6, and take your Bibles back to the book of Romans real quickly if you would. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. You know this verse. Listen, the Bible shows us there are times when we don't even know, and I believe we mentioned this verse recently, we don't even know what we should pray for. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse number 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. The Spirit. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And listen, if I'm not yielded to the Spirit at that moment when I'm going to the Lord in prayer, and sometimes I don't know what to pray for, it's the Spirit that helps me to know what to pray for. By the way, the Bible says here, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, let me give you the flip side of that. Take your Bibles and look at the book of James. James chapter number 4. The always of prayer. James chapter number 4. Number 1, always willing. Always willing in the Spirit. Look at James chapter number 4. This is the flip side. We can be in the Spirit or we can pray in the flesh. And I believe James chapter 4 shows us this. James chapter 4, verse number 1, the Bible says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. And then notice verse number 3. Ye ask and receive not. See, he says, first of all, you have not because ye ask not. But then he takes it a little bit further, and he says, some of you do ask. He says, ye ask and ye still don't receive. He says, some of you don't receive because you don't ask. He said, but some ask and you still don't receive. Why? Because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own, or excuse me, you may consume it upon your lust. See, there's the difference. If I'm praying in the flesh, if I'm praying in the Spirit. Because you know, the Spirit guides us. Because sometimes we do pray amiss, don't we? We do ask amiss. We do pray in our flesh. Now, by the way, please don't misunderstand tonight. I'm not saying it's wrong to pray for something personal. Our family has been praying for something that some would say that it's not necessarily a spiritual prayer, but it's a personal prayer for us. And our family has been praying for it for 3 years. Now, the Spirit hasn't shown us yet that it's a wrong prayer, and so we're still praying. So I'm not saying tonight that that James chapter 4 is saying we cannot have personal prayers. Even we might even say physical prayers. No, that's not what it's saying. He's saying you are praying in the flesh. You are asking amiss because you want to consume it upon your lust. You're not praying in the Spirit. Romans 8:26 says there are times we don't even know what to pray for, and the Spirit intercedes for us. And so the always of prayer, always willing. And what I mean by that is always yielded to the Spirit. Spirit, show me. Is this a wrong prayer? Am I praying it in my flesh? Is this just something I want to consume on my lust? Secondly, always warring. We're not going to go, but Matthew chapter 7, if you're taking notes tonight, Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. And then thirdly, always watching. Look back at Ephesians 6. Those kind of go together. Always warring, always watching. Look what it says in verse number 18 of Ephesians 6. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, by the way, prayer and supplication. Prayer is kind of the attitude of me going to God. I am praying to God. Supplication is the more specifics. I'm asking for specific things. I'm supplicating. I'm whether it's for myself or someone else. By the way, we'll get to that in just a moment. In 19 and 20, Paul says, look, I want you to pray for me too. He says in verse 18, he says, for all saints. And so whether it's a prayer for me or someone else, the supplication, I'm praying to God, but I'm asking specifics, or I'm praising specifically, or I'm interceding or entreating specifically. Notice what he says in verse 18. And after he says supplication of the Spirit, and what's the word there? Watching. Watching thereunto with all what? Perseverance and supplication for all saints. The always of prayer. Always willing, always warring, always watching. Hey, again, hold your place here. Would you look at Hebrews just a little bit to the right? Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. The always of prayer. Always willing, always warring, always watching. We said it just a moment ago. We have families, we have communities, we have relationships that need our constant prayers. I've said it many, many times. Shame on me, and maybe when I get to heaven, it will be shame on me. Shame on me if the devil goes before God to accuse my children more than I go to the throne of God to pray for my children. Shame on me if the devil goes before God Almighty, as he did with Job, and accuses my wife. He's the accuser of the brethren more than I go before the throne of grace to pray for my wife. Notice what he says here in Hebrews 13, verse number 17. He says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Notice this. For they, what's the next word? Watch. For they watch for your souls. You know what the idea of that word watch is? It's the idea of lying sleepless. It's the idea of sleepless nights because you're standing guard for whoever it may be. He said, obey them that have the rule over you. Why? Why should I do that? He said, and submit yourselves. Why? We don't want to submit to anybody. Why? Because you've got some people in your life. Now, I believe specifically verse 17, he's talking about the pastor, but you know, we could apply many relationships or many applications here. He says, for they watch for your souls, lying sleepless as they that... Why do they do that? Because they know they're going to have to give an account one day. As they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. The always of prayer, always willing, always warring, always watching. Hey, stay right here in the book of Hebrews. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Let me give you the second word. The first word is the word always. The always of prayer. Number two, the access of prayer. The always of prayer. Number two, the access of prayer. Soldiers on the battlefield, again, we said it earlier, they need a direct line of communication. The always of prayer. But secondly, the access of prayer. Hebrews chapter number 4. verses 14 through 16. You know these verses tonight. The access of prayer. We have access through our priest. We have access to his place. And we have access to his power. We have access through our priest. We have access to his place. And we have access to his power. Notice what the Bible says here in verses 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, better than the earthly priest, better than the Levitical priest. We have a priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. He says, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We don't have a high priest who sits on some throne and he has no idea what we're going through. That's not the kind of priest we have, he says. We have a priest who has been touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And by the way, not only touched, but the Bible says he's been tempted. Look what he says there in verse 15. Touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We have access through our priest. We have access to his place. We have access to his power. Verse 16, let us therefore, there's that word again we looked at a few weeks ago. Let us therefore, because we have a high priest who knows what we're going through, because we have a high priest who has power, superpower status, the might, we battle in the might of our God. He says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to do what? To help in time of need. Hey, those battlefield soldiers, when they're pinned down by enemy fire and they're on those communication lines and they're calling to the command center and they're saying, we need cover, we need help, we need helicopters, we need planes, we need somebody to take the enemy off of us. They need to know that they have a direct line back to that command center, don't they? And dear friend, tonight in the spiritual battle, we have a direct line. I don't have to drive myself to a building and I don't have to get into some little booth and hope that the guy next to me is awake. No, I don't have to do that. Now, I can go get in my closet or I can just be in my car driving. I can be anywhere and I can go directly to the throne of grace. There's a direct line of communication. When the devil is tempting and bringing his minions upon us and throwing temptation. Hey, have you ever had a day like that? Where you just felt like the devil just threw the kitchen sink at you? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And whether you did or not, at that moment when you felt like that, you had the opportunity and the access as a child of God to go directly to the throne of grace. Number one, the always. Number two, the access. Access through our priest, access to his place, the throne of grace, and access to his power to find help in time of need. Look back at Ephesians 6. Number three, let me give you the third word. Number one, the always of prayer. Number two, the access of prayer. Number three, the appeal of prayer, APPEAL, the things that we pray for. What does Paul mention in verses 18 through 20, specifically verses 19 through 20, or verses 19 and 20? The appeal of prayer. Number one, we're to pray for the brethren. He says in verse 18, all saints. We're to pray for the brethren. Verse 19, we're to pray for boldness. Verse 20, we are to pray for their bonds. We're to pray for the brethren, all saints, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, lying sleepless. Perseverance. Perseverance. I was listening to a pastor preach, this has been many years ago, but I was listening to him online preach, and he was preaching a message. And he told the story about a wayward daughter in his home. And he spoke about how for weeks he slept in front of her bedroom door so that she wouldn't sneak out at night. that's watching. That's a dad who's watching for his daughter. That's a dad who is burdened for his daughter. He doesn't want her to go the wrong way. He doesn't want the adversary, the devil, and his wiles to deceive her. And he's watching for her. He's lying sleepless. We're to pray for the brethren, perseverance and supplication for all saints. We're to pray for boldness, verse 19. And for me, Paul says, and for me. Paul said, look, you've got all of these relationships. Hey, but we also have the relationship of brethren. Brothers and sisters in Christ. And he says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. Let me ask you, was Paul bold? Yes. You know what he wanted? More boldness. He says, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. We're to pray for boldness. We're to pray for the brethren, the appeal of prayer. And then in verse number 20, we're to pray for their bonds, the brethren. Specifically here in verse 20, it's Paul. He says, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so we pray that whether they're in bonds or not, that they'll speak boldly. That our brothers and sisters in Christ, whether they're persecuted or not, that we will speak boldly for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four. Number one, the always of prayer. Number two, the access of prayer. Number three, the appeal of prayer. By the way, this is just three that we find right here in the passage. We could mention so many others. Again, you may have a child that you're praying for. Spiritual needs or maybe their physical needs tonight or whatever the battle may be tonight. Maybe you're praying for a family tonight. Maybe in your family, maybe there's a brother or a sister that they're having trouble in their marriage. We're to pray for the brethren. We're to pray for boldness. And we're to pray for their bonds. Take your Bibles to the book of Psalms and we'll be done tonight. Psalm 34. Number four, the answer of prayer. Psalm 34. We could go to many places. We could go to many places in the Psalms. The always of prayer, the access, the appeal, and the answer. Psalm 34, this is a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. The Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. By the way, that's what they hate today. They hate His name. You can do church and you can do religion, but when you start speaking the name Jesus Christ, by the way, you can talk about Buddha and you can talk about Confucius, or however you say his name. And you can pray to him in school. But when you talk about Jesus Christ, they cry separation of church and state because they hate that name. Because they hate what it encompasses. They hate the meaning of it. What that name did and accomplished. And David said, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. verse 6 and 7, and we're done. This poor man cried, and the Lord what? Heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I love verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. By the way, we should read verse 8 as well. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. When we're on the spiritual battlefield, you know what we need? We need trust in him. There are high-value targets that need protecting. We have superpower status. And part of that superpower status is having access to the throne of grace any moment of the day. A direct line of communication to the Almighty, the All-Powerful, the name that we should exalt together. He encampeth round about them that fear him. Lord, help us to be people of prayer. Father, thank you for the night. I pray that you would help us as we go to prayer, as we lift up these requests tonight. Lord, we do so for many reasons, but most of all because we're in a spiritual battle. Brother Caleb asked prayer for his neighbors tonight because, Father, there's a spiritual battle there. The devil's fighting for their souls. And Father, we need to fight even more. And one of the ways we can fight is in this matter of prayer. And so, Father, tonight we're going to lift them before your throne of grace and ask that these individuals would be saved very soon. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be able to come to your throne of grace any moment of the day. May you help us to do it more. May you help us to persevere, to watch, to war, to pray and supplicate in the Spirit. Father, the goal of prayer, according to a man, is your ear. And Father, we believe that tonight. And we desire your ear tonight. We desire for you to hear and answer. And Lord, we pray that you would. And Father, help us as we leave tonight. Give us safety. Help Brother Corey and Miss Mary as they take these children home on the van tonight. Give wonderful safety there, and we'll thank you for it. Help us tomorrow. Help us Friday. Help us Saturday. Days before we meet back together, even though we will see each other in between. Father, may we go out of here and be people of prayer. And we'll thank you for what you'll do in the days to come. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.